Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
Alrighty, alrighty. Wow. By the way, just got to say, I'm going to you now in 1 second, but damn it, where is it here now? How come I've lost it now? Anyway, I will get to it in 1 second here. Ray Martinez, thank you for the love on Cash App. Thank you for the Bitcoin donation, my brother. Very generous and extremely generous. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. So just want to thank Ray. As always, you guys can make a donation, Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show. You threw my average out of whack now, so I got to throw that new average now. Anyway, welcome aboard, Matt. How you doing, my brother? You doing good?
Doing well. Doing well. Just waiting to see what the hell happens at good old Sports Illustrated. Other than that, we're good.
At where? Getting where again? What was that again?
I said it. Just waiting to see what happens at good old Sports Illustrated. We're just trying to. Oh. You may have been reading about it in the news. It's been.
I didn't know there's something new now. Oh shit!
The license got purchased last week.
Right.
Which is a good thing, but it's just, okay. Yeah, now there's a transition period, and it's just,
but
just waiting to see what happens.
Okay, because there might be more changes.
So I would say, I mean, it's, listen, you know, love working there. Love Sports Illustrated, but it's been interesting the last 9 days. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying that. I think anybody who's been following along knows, you know, they grasp that. But other than that, good. Yeah, you know, watching the rule changes and, the NFL and, you know, being surprised that they did some of them. But
I'm happy about the hip drop tackle. Tyreek was never the same after that tackle for the rest of the year. I'm not a fan of it because you're just basically, it's like a lazy tackle. You're just hooking and then just throwing your weight. And I get it that it's harder to play defense than ever, but, you know, we don't pay for people to do the hip drop tackle. We pay to watch them score touchdowns and throw it and sack the quarterback and those kind of things. So anything that you can eliminate injuries, I'm good with that. So I don't know where you stand on that one for the hip drop.
I actually don't like that they removed it. I think it's going to create more injuries because I think what's going to happen is guys are going to say, well, if I can't tackle you like that, if I'm behind you, I'm going to dive at your legs. That's what's going to happen.
And so what happened with grabbing legs?
Oh, I don't even necessarily mean grabbing. I think guys are going to just dive at people's legs because they're going to be like, well, I'm out of position. And I think, hopefully in most cases it will be grabbing an ankle. Fine. But I think you're going to have some guys who just go, well, screw it. I'm going to dive your back, your legs. And I think you're just going to have guys getting rolled up. I think it just makes it harder to legislate the game. The NFLPA came out and said they didn't want it removed. And you know, the NFL never listens to the NFLPA, so they just do what they want to do anyway. And I don't want to hear any of this nonsense at the NFL about player safety because you're playing two freaking Christmas games on a Wednesday.
Right.
So spare me the whole, like, we care about the play. No, you don't. I, in theory, I don't mind that they got rid of it. I just think it's going to be replaced by things that create injuries as well. So I think at some juncture you have to accept the fact that it's just a game where injuries happen. And, you know, I think the hip drop tackle being eliminated, fine. But now I just think it's going to be replaced by other ways to injure a guy from behind or from the side.
Yeah, I just don't – my problem with the hip drop tackle is there's a good chance injury happens when that tackle happens. And that's the problem I have with that tackle, that it just puts the player, the offensive player, in a terrible, because you're carrying the guy's weight now all of a sudden, and you're taught to try to fight through a tackle. So then that's just, you know, right there, something's got to give. And so that to me, that's why I don't have a problem, because I'd rather try to save people from injury overall. The return, I love it, actually. I actually enjoyed that part of the XFL. We were getting no returns. Now there will be some strategy.
Yep.
Now you can actually scheme it up. And if you are able to free somebody off that initial line, man, you're home free, dude, because the kicker ain't going to stop you, bro. Sorry. The kicker, just 9 out of 10 times, that kicker is going to take a wrong angle and he's going to just be, you know, he's just going to see your ass in your numbers. That's what he's going to see when it's all said and done. Your thoughts on the kickoff rule?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I know it's radically different than what we've seen, but that's not always the worst thing. Like, sometimes you've got to, you know, evolve at the times. And, you know, I think that it at least creates some kind of strategy, like you said, instead of just bombing out of the end zone, the play doesn't even matter. Now it actually matters. Like, now it's like, okay, you can still bomb it out of the end zone, but now you're giving up 5 more yards. Now that team's starting at the 30-yard line, not the 25. And if you kick it to their team's 5-yard line, you know, or in that zero, being between the goal line and the 20, let's just say the 5, you can't fair catch it. You got to return the ball. So I do think that makes it interesting. You don't have guys coming downhill 1,000 miles an hour, which I think will make it easier to block those guys, and you might spring some bigger returns. It is very interesting. I'll be curious to see, like, in third and fourth quarters of games, do teams still just say, look, we're going to kick it through the end zone because we're not going to risk some guy running it back and we'll give up the extra 5 yards? Or do you see teams say, look, we're going to try to, you know, kick the ball down inside the 5 and we're going to make you return it. And we can maybe get off a few blocks and tackle you at the 16, 17-yard line. It's interesting. It's interesting. If nothing else, I'm more than willing to see it, you know, for the year. And if it doesn't work out, fine. But it's worth a shot. I don't mind that the NFL did it.
Yeah, I'm all in for that one. I like it. Top 3 picks. What are they going to be? What's the order?
Well, it's going to be Williams first, and then after that, it's going to be, in my opinion, it'll be May and Daniels in some order. I think it should be in that order. I think it should be May and then Daniels, but I think it's probably going to be reversed. Everything you hear is that Daniels is going to go too. Now, you know, it's also lying season, and, you know, there's a lot of smoke out there and a lot of BS, and like, we all know that that's true. But I would say Daniels 2, May 3, McCarthy 4. I think the first 4 picks are all going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, and Daniel or May for you?
May.
Okay.
May. And I'm not like really.
It's funny because a lot of people are Jaden Daniels.
No, I it's one of those things. I get the argument. I have a hard time when for 2 years, everybody's watched all these guys and been like, Williams is 1, May is 2. And nobody's quibbled with that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, actually, Daniels. And you're like, well, why? Based on what? Like, we just watched all this. I know he won the Heisman. I also know he had 2 incredible receivers. And if you look at his numbers when he goes outside the pocket, it's a problem. It's a big problem. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to succeed at the next level, but I do think there's more questions about him than May. I think you watch that kid throw the ball, he can just throw the football, man. I just don't see a lot of downside of Drake May.
I think Drake May is going to be a better pro than he was a college player.
I tend to agree with you. I think he's going to be really good.
Obviously, as long as he gets a good coach, you know, which is the most important thing, that you get somebody that really knows quarterbacks and you're in an offense that you know protects him and all that. I think Drake May can be a hell of a player, dude. I've watched him here in the ACC. That kid's got everything you need, really. And you know, it reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan and Boston College, right? Because, like, when he came out his last year, he had a bunch of interceptions. And I would tell people, well, bro, do you watch that team? Drake Callender. And I still remember the name. Drake, this is 20 years ago. That was his best player, some guy named Callender. It wasn't Drake. I think that's our goaltender. But the guy's name is Callender. That was like his best player. And it was like one of those things, like he had nobody. He was forcing the ball. You know, this guy will be a solid quarterback overall. And he ended up becoming a solid quarterback. And I think May is a guy that he's had some good talent at North Carolina at times, but there's other times where, you know, he's had to kind of carry at times. So it doesn't always put you in the best positions. And that's why I think he doesn't get the love at times. But if you watch him, dude, he has all the tools that if the right people get him, I think he can be a hell of a quarterback in the NFL, man. I really do.
I do too. I do too. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. And I don't think there's going to be a huge learning curve here either. I agree with you. I think he's going to be very good. I would take him too. If I was Washington, I would take him too.
All right, so we talked last week about the Odell situation, and one of the things that I reported was, obviously, there was no deal imminent, but one of the things that I've tried to explain to people over the last year and a half, these guys don't really go out and give you a ton of money. And that's why I said for the Dalvin Cook stuff, they weren't going to give him a big contract. If he comes on their terms,
right?
You know, because they don't value that position here. Or Jonathan Taylor, when, oh, they're trading for him. No, they're not, dude. Unless they want to take a bunch of salary from Miami, then maybe they'll make a trade and they'll give up something and all that. But they were never willing to trade picks and big salary and all that kind of stuff. And so I've explained that the whole Odell thing is, it's a low contract. It's somewhere between the 4 or 5 range with a bunch of incentives because they look at him as a complementary piece. Some fans look at him like, oh, he's going to be one of your top guys. No. That's not the way Miami's looking at it. And I don't know who else, the Steelers, who else is out there.
Right.
But nobody else is looking at him like a 1 or 2 anymore because you can't look at him like that anymore. But under those conditions, I actually say, yeah, you should sign Odell. If it's a reasonable contract and he's there to be a complimentary guy and he understands that, then I think it's worth it. You know what I mean? Big salary, all that kind of stuff. Then I would tell you, no, hell no. I don't want anything to do with the guy whatsoever. So under those kind of conditions, where do you stand? Where do you think the Dolphins, should they continue to try to pursue that? Or you think it's a bad idea?
I would just draft a guy in like the mid rounds. This draft's a loaded receiver.
They don't pick till the 5th. They have 1, 2. And that's going to go O-line, D-line, probably.
Right.
Maybe corner, if wild card or something like that.
Howard.
I don't think it'll be receiver. And so you got to wait till the 5th round, doggy.
Look, man. I mean, trade next year's 4th or something. And get okay. Or maybe trade back in the 2nd round. And you know, that way you still have a 2nd rounder, but you get like a 3rd or a 4th or something. Like, I get yourself into the middle rounds, and I draft a receiver. I just look at Beckham. Beckham hasn't been – like, I know for the Rams, he had a stretch where he was good for like a couple of months.
And he was solid with Baltimore, actually. If you look at it, he actually would have had better stats if Lamar was accurate. Lamar missed.
Look, man, he's shot at this point. I don't know. Like, remember, I can't go there.
Remember, it's Tyreek, Waddle, Janu, and then it's he's really a 4th option.
I get it. In 2020, he had 319 yards. In 2021, he had 537. That was the year with the Rams, where in 8 games with the Rams, he had 305 yards. Okay, it wasn't like he lit the world on fire. 2022, he missed the whole year with torn ACL. Last year, played in 14 games, did 35 catches, 565 yards. Like, and he was the number 2 on that team. Like, now he's going to be number 3, so he's going to be even less productive, in my opinion. Like, he's going to be even less productive. So, like, I just look at him, and it's like, why? Why bring him in? Like, I mean, I'd rather go sign DJ Chark, like Josh Reynolds.
I love DJ Chark. What a great route runner he is, dude. I love DJ Chark.
You know, like, I just look, it's nothing against Odell personally. I have nothing against the guy. It's not like because I think he's a problem. I don't think that. I just think
he hasn't been that actually the last couple of years.
No, he hasn't been. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's that. Like, it's just he's gonna be 32 years old in November, and I'm just kind of at the point with him where I think it's over. I just think it's like, it is what it is. I think it's more that the injuries have just caught up with him and he's just not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago. No, listen, you want to sit there and say, hey, sign him for 1 year and $3 million and a bunch of incentives. Okay, fine. But I mean, I would try if I'm Miami to find a way to get another top 125 pick. And I would just draft a receiver because just class. I've talked to a lot of people in the NFL. I'll tell you, there's going to be 10 of them gone in the first 50 picks.
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep. Yeah.
That's all I'd go. If they can.
And by the way, now, because I talked about this yesterday with the new kickoff rule, and because the contact isn't from, you know, a guy coming 40 yards downfield.
Right.
You might use Tyreek at times. You might use Waddle at times. You might use Achane at times because these are guys with wiggle. Or you do what you said right now. You go find that third receiver in the draft that's kind of a returner also.
Yep.
And so and then he's your fourth option slash returner at the same time. So that could be also an option. But then again, that because of that rule change, draft boards might be adjusting all over the league right now because they're saying, well, wait a minute now. Now we could go get a returner and we could get a guy that has a little shake and bake. All he has to do is make one or two guys miss and he's gone.
I mean, does Xavier Worthy have more value now? He ran a 4.2140. Like, he's got a little more value?
Yes.
Put him down on the goal line for a kickoff return. All right, man, go nuts.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that certainly will factor in when these teams are making their picks.
Yeah, I definitely think that would end up being a factor. All right, what do you got going on in Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, right now, all of our content is going up on Athlon Sports because of the continued situation over at Sports Illustrated. So if you'd like to check out my work for the time being, you can check it out at Athlon Sports. I think I have something going up this week. And then after that, we'll see. I would say that the best course of action right now is to follow my Twitter handle.
Right.
And then go from there. Because I'd love to tell you what's going to be going up.
It's a crazy business, bro.
But I don't know the answer to that question.
Crazy business. I mean, I've had my last 10, 12 years in this business has been just freaking wacky, bro. Freaking wacky. After like a lot of stability in radio, there isn't any. Yeah. But I had a lot of stability like the first 20 years, 22 years or something. Yep. But the last 10 or 12 have been just a disaster, bro.
It's an interesting situation that if people want to read about it, I'm sure they can find a way to read about it. But as we stand, yeah, I would follow my Twitter handle and then we'll just see what it's published and where it's published and when, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You got it. And follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam so you can keep up with everything there. Matt, we will catch up next week, my friend. I appreciate you as always.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go, Matt Verderam. Yes, sir. Don't forget Welton Raom, by the way, proud sponsors of our program. We love talking about Jeff Welton, Daniel Raom, 954-966-4646. Bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation, personal injury. Listen, the rules now, especially when it comes to storm damage and all that, and when it comes to insurance, they don't favor us anymore. Okay. The new laws that DeSantis passed favor the corporations, not us. So guess what's the most important thing? The lawyers you hire. So when you do have the water damage, make sure you call Welt and Raom, 954-966-4646. You don't need it right now. I'm glad. Okay. I don't want you to have any problems, but if it should arise, some issue, bankruptcy, personal injury, whatever it is, you save it on the cell phone. That way you have it whenever you need it. Welt and Raom, 954-966-4646. All right. Let's see. Mario lost me when he didn't take the knee. Yeah. He lost a lot of us. I'm happy common sense prevailed in the hip drop tackle. It's done for me too. Didn't Bo Jackson's career? No, it wasn't a hip drop. It was just bad luck where they wrapped up his legs and it disconnected from his hip as he was falling down. It was a regular legal tackle. It wasn't a hip drop. It was a grab, but it was just one of those freakish things. And we're talking about one of the most freakish athletes in the world, in the history of mankind, Bo Jackson. For that to happen to Bo, wow, dude, that's crazy. I mean, really crazy. Yeah, I don't think you can trade Tyreek anymore. You guys like are, you guys don't react at the right time when to trade people. You do it when it's already, you know, he's already built up like a whole bunch of off the field issues now. Plus, he's got a whole bunch of guaranteed money. No, you will live the next 2 years out with Tyreek, and then they will move on. Okay. Notice how when they went to go free up money, they did not go to Tyreek. Okay. Message sent. And then next year they won't do it again because they only have one more year after that. And then Waddle's contract becomes the big boy after that. So it's kind of a cycle. So he's here for two more years and that's it. Okay. And Jimmy Butler, the same thing. You got to live it out the next 2 years. Nobody's trading for Jimmy Butler. Okay. Nobody can handle Jimmy Butler. Nobody wants Jimmy Butler. Nobody's trading for a guy that they got to give him $50 million and he's going to miss, you know, more than half the games. Because really, he misses about 60% of the games. Okay. Because he really only tries in 40. He might show up in another 20, but he doesn't really play. You know what I'm saying? So let's get off the trade Jimmy, trade Tyreek. They're both untradeable. Nobody will want them for different reasons, but nobody's going to want them. Okay. So let's just kind of dump all of that. Dustin is out in beautiful Dubai. He says, we got you streaming here. Us horsemen are ready for the Dubai World Cup on Saturday. Let's go Pandagate. Four horse racing on Saturday. Let's go. That's got to be so cool. Going to Dubai, hanging out, go see a race. I am dying to go to Dubai, bro. I got to go see that place. That place is one of a kind. Anything and everything that you could possibly imagine, they've built it there. So I am dying to go visit Dubai, man. It looks like such a cool place, man. Shang Tusheng, Tua is not a gunslinger. I don't know why McDaniel thinks this. Well, that's because McDaniel's not a very good coach. He's a great offensive mind, but he's not a great coach. Michael Cruz loves the hip drop tackle. He says it's a terrible rule change. Hip drop tackle took out Jordan Travis at FSU. Really? I forgot about that. Wow, that sucks. What's the point of having half of a billion of a QB on IR every year? Yeah, who's that? Who's a half a billion dollar QB on IR every year? Let's see. Drake may be the best QB at the position coming out. He might. Do I remember Tiger King on Netflix? Yes. He escaped and they just caught him in Santa Rosa County, Florida. For real? No. That guy escaped prison? Wow, that's crazy. Are you sure, dude? Oh, man. PC guy says, trade Tyreek. Yeah, not going to happen. Green Lion, trade Jimmy Butler and Hero for a box of Krispy Kreme. Well, that's good value. Nice job by you, Green Lion. You got good value in return. I mean, it's not a dandy donut, but we'll take the Krispy Kreme. Will a light ever go on Channing Tindall's head? I hope Weaver is able to use him. Well, guess what, Lenny? Last chance. Last chance for him. Okay? Last chance. Dolphins, by the way, have been granted marketing rights to three new countries, Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico. So they were already in the UK, Spain, and Brazil. So now they got Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico. How about that? So they get to market there and get to increase their brand as the NFL becomes more international every day, every year, which is pretty cool. Marlins will start their season tomorrow against the Pirates at Marlins Park, by the way. Mitch Keller taking on Jesus Luzardo. It's not Marlins Park. It's called something, right? Isn't it? Doesn't it have a name? Doesn't it have like a sponsor, I think? By the way, Craig Mish reported that Home the Marlins. Depot. Oh, there you go. Lone Depot Park. That's right. That's right. It's Lone Depot Park. Craig Mish, by the way, reported that the Marlins today acquired relief pitcher Birch Smith from the Rays for cash considerations. I wish I could get inspired about the Marlins. I just cannot. Tre'Davious White signs a one-year deal with the Rams. He's coming back from a torn Achilles tendon. It's a base value, $8.5 million, can be worth up to $10 million. Good player, but obviously coming back from the torn Achilles, he couldn't get a multi-year deal out there. So it's kind of one of those, prove you're back and you're healthy, and then you'll get a multi-year deal from somebody. By the way, where is Bitcoin right now? And Ray Martinez, thank you for making the Bitcoin donation. Not only did you make a Bitcoin donation, my man, okay, but you made it at 69,852. That was the exchange rate you got when you donated it, and we were at 73,7. So you ended up making a donation on the dip. You are a freaking stud, bro. Okay. I appreciate you immensely because you already sent Bitcoin and it's going to grow forever. You know, so my daughter thanks you because she'll probably end up with my Bitcoin when it's all said and done. So, you know, but anyway, thank you, Ray. It's very kind of you. Very nice of you to send it in. And he says, let's go. So appreciate it. You guys can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. And like Ray, you can make a Bitcoin donation. And we always appreciate it. Cash App or Venmo. Nobody's made a Bitcoin donation yet on Venmo. That's the funny part. Everybody does it on Cash App, dude. Everybody. That is such a trip. So it just shows me that Cash App is so ahead of Venmo when it comes to Bitcoin. It's not even close. Oh, how ugly is it going to get between the Heat, front office, and Butler this offseason? I don't know. You tell me. Your guess is as good as mine. You know as much as I do, my brother. Will they fold like a cheap tent? If they don't, then it gets ugly. Right? But you got to have some, you know, cojones and say, yeah, there'll be no extension. That's all. So, what's going on here? Today, Skid Row and Eric Grunwald jointly announced that Eric will step down as the vocalist for Skid Row. Longtime friend Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm will be taking over vocal duties for the upcoming 4 concerts. Wow. How about that, dude? My buddy just sent me this. So Skid Row fires or whatever, they decide to part ways with their lead singer that took over for Sebastian Bach, which, you know, to go see Skid Row without Sebastian Bach is eh. But now you tell me Lizzie Hale's going to do those last 4 shows, which is super cool on her part, by the way. God, Lizzie Hale, I like her even more now, okay? I'm a huge Hailstorm fan. Admire the shit out of Lizzie Hale. As I've said many times, if Pat Benatar and Joan Jett had a child and you put those genes together, it would be Lizzie Hale, okay? And that is so cool that she's going to step in and fill in for Skid Row. I would love to just see that concert just because Lizzy is singing in one of those four shows. Oh, Andre Callender is the name. Thank you, Sean. Sean went and found the receiver for the fullback, right, of which he caught balls and ran and everything. That was their best player on the team, Andre Callender. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. You're on top of it, dude. You're the best. Andre freaking Callender. That's crazy. Oh, did you get the Bitcoin I sent you on Venmo Tuesday evening? No? No? Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. I've never gotten any Bitcoin on Venmo. Ever. No, sir. I'm sorry. Apologize. Did you send it to Cash Big O Show? If you sent it to just, you know, something else, because I always say Cash Big O Show. Cash Big O Show. Venmo or Cash App. All the same. So, no, sir, I did not. I apologize. I would be a very happy camper if you send me a little Bitcoin on Venmo. And thank you for attempting to send it or sending it. Make sure, because see if you get it back or something, because you sent it to somebody that doesn't deserve it. Mojo Donuts, bro, the real deal. Mojo Donuts is good. No doubt. I like Mojo Donuts. I'll take Dandy over Mojo, but yes, Mojo's excellent. Korn and Gojira are coming to town. Yes. Korn has announced their tour. I have it here. Let me do a little music and entertainment for you. I got a funny one, by the way. This is like really a tripped out one. But anyway, first of all, Korn has announced their tour. And where is it at? Here it is. They have announced their North American tour. They announced a one-night event in Los Angeles to celebrate their 30th anniversary of their self-titled album. Which will be March 26th. And the band is hitting the road with Gojira and Spirit Box this September and October on a trek that includes headlining a spot at Louder Than Life Festival on September 29th, and the special LA show on October 5th, which will also feature performances by Evanescence, Darren Malakian, and Scars on Broadway, and Vended. They will be here in Tampa September 12th. And September 12th, let me make sure, with Gojira and Spirit Box, both. And then in West Palm Beach, September 14th. Okay. Newark, New Jersey, September 23rd. Toronto, September 25th. I'm going to read a couple of them. September 28th, Chicago. October 3rd, Phoenix. October 5th, Los Angeles. October 13th, Salt Lake City. San Antonio, October 21st. Houston, October 20th. So there you go. Those are some of the dates for Korn. If you're a Korn fan, I'm not a Gojira guy. I don't really give a shit about Gojira. So I probably will be relaxing outside of, you know, somewhere, not sitting in the stands watching Gojira. I'm not really into screamers. Screamers don't impress me. Rebel Wilson. Do you guys know Rebel Wilson? The actress? Well, she claims, you know, Sasha Baron Cohen, right? So she claims that Sasha Baron Cohen asked her to stick her finger up his butt while he was stripping nude during the movie The Brothers Grimsby. The Australian actress, 44, has been making explosive claims about her experience with the British star, 52, in her new memoir, Rebel Rising, branding him an asshole. Rebel now claimed that she had an uncomfortable experience while filming the 2016 comedy, claims which Sasha has said are false and contradictory by evidence, and shared details in new excerpts from her biography. She played the role of his character, Nobby's girlfriend, Dawn. In the passage obtained by People magazine, Rebel had alleged that Sasha would repeatedly ask her to strip off for scenes despite her no nudity rule. He says the most shocking allegation is that he requested she stick her finger up his butt because he thought it would make a funny scene in the film. Rebel writes, it felt like every time I'd speak to Sasha, he'd mention that he wanted me to go naked in a future scene, and I was like, ha, I don't do nudity, Sasha. Rebel claimed that she was allegedly summoned by the product assistant for an additional scene while shooting in Cape Town, South Africa. Rebel says, okay, well, we're going to film this extra scene, Sasha says. Then he pulls down his pants and matter of factly, okay, now I want you to stick your finger up my ass. And I'm like, what? No. Sasha, by the way, strongly denies ever mistreating Rebel or pressuring her to be naked in the film. Who you believe in? Right? I believe Rebel by a mile. Sasha, that's probably him. Yes. And by the way, why would she make that stuff up? To sell a couple of extra books? Does she no, dude, she lots of people were, you know, you find out as time goes on, some people worked on a film and they had a terrible experience with an actor, actress, whatever, because they found out that this actor, actress is a first-class jerk. And Sasha Baron Cohen looks exactly like she describes him. Exactly. I mean, to the T. Sean, I know you're hurting right now. So am I. Because we did not win the Mega Millions, unfortunately. So the Mega Millions went off yesterday, and somebody ended up winning over $1 billion. That's crazy. A single ticket sold in New Jersey won $1.13 billion in Mega Millions drawings on Tuesday, according to the game's website. The jackpot was the fifth largest in the game's history and eighth largest in U.S. history. The winning numbers were 7, 11, 22, 29, and 38. The gold ball number was 4. So we lose. Sean, we don't get to retire. Okay? That's all. Let's go with birthdays today. All right? Today is March 27th. Halle Bailey, R&B singer, is 24. Mariah Carey is 55. Jessie J, Domino, right? I think is that song of hers or something like that. Jessie J is 36. She's pretty good, actually, Jessie J. Fergie, 49. Nathan Fillion, TV actor, is 53. Quentin Tarantino is 61. Kimbra, pop singer, 34. The only reason I know her is someone I used to know, whatever that song, because it's whatever featuring Kimbra, right? So that's the only reason I know her from that song. What else? And Buster Posey is 37 years old today. Polly Peretti, she is 51. She is from NCSI, I'm sorry. For those of you that watch that. Okay. And there you go. All righty. And we go to music history now. That's our next stop. What happened today on March 27th? Will they find P. Diddy on March 27th? And then next year they found P. Diddy. In 1986, on this date in Shreveport, Louisiana, Sammy Hagar played his first gig with Van Halen as part of their 112-date North American tour. In 1981, on this date, AC/DC released their album Dirty Deeds Done the Cheap
dirty deeds and the dunder cheap. Ow!
In 79, Eric Clapton married George Harrison's ex-wife, Patty Boyd, in Tucson, Arizona. In 84, Metallica made their UK debut with a gig at London's Marquee. In 87, U2 performed on the roof of a downtown LA store and made a video where the streets have no name. It brought traffic to a standstill and attracted thousands of spectators. Police eventually had to shut the shoot down, which you can see the video. And I've driven by that supermarket while I'm in LA. In 65, Jeff Beck replaced Eric Clapton in the Yardbirds. Stud for stud. In 2007, Scott Weiland's wife was arrested on suspicion of burning over $10,000 worth of his belongings outside their Southern California home. When police arrived, they found a bin of smoldering clothes. Earlier in the day, the couple left two rooms at a luxury hotel vandalized following an argument. Rock and roll, baby. It's all about rock and roll. Rock and roll. All right. What do we have going on? Let's see. Yes, sir, Sean.
Joe Shad just X'd out or tweeted out, whatever the heck you want to call it. The Dolphins' initial line by DraftKings is 10.5 wins for 2024. The odds, if you want to go with under, is -145. If you want to go over, it's +125.
It's interesting because what was the narrative by a lot of people? Well, the Dolphins are going to take a step back. The Dolphins are going to take a step back. And what did I say? How do you know that? They got to be healthy at the end of the year, right? They haven't been healthy the last 2 years. Well, they would have been a lot better. So just health alone at the end of the year, they would be better than the last 2 years. And how do you know the players they added aren't going to make the team better? And how do you know the drafts and the undrafted and improvement from within? I love how, you know, you just throw that out there because they want to get you in the panic. You know, it's a lot easier to give you negative shit. So I'm the guy that sits here and says, no. I'm not telling you they're going to be great, but this whole thing that they're going to be worse. So Vegas has had them at 8.5 and 9.5 wins the last 2 years. So now they got them at 10.5. It's interesting how Vegas, who usually has it more right than any of your media that you're following, they have them better. Wow. Interesting. Kind of contradicts what everybody wants to sell you. You know, it's really easy to tell you Tua can't stay healthy. Tua can't stay healthy. Tua can't stay healthy. He's just concussion prone. Did we do that here? No, because it's really easy to sensationalize it and just be lazy and say, yeah, no, Tua can't do this. He can't be. No, had nothing to do with that. Had to do with him holding the ball. But that doesn't sell papers. That doesn't get you a ton of hits on YouTube. Talking sense to people saying, no, it has nothing to do with that. No, he's holding on to the ball too long. Sensationalism sells, folks. So it's better to tell you, hey, they're going to be, the Dolphins are going to take a step back. Really, genius? That's really smart. Because simply just the injuries alone, they take a step forward. Last time I checked, we had three geriatric linebackers playing in the playoffs. Three guys that were probably on walkers before they got into the locker room. Hook, line, and sinker. It's what they're doing like 70% of the time, dude. Because they're stuck on one subject. And they have to, like, reach for shit. We don't have to reach for shit here. Just don't. I'm surprised he didn't ask her for the whole fist to be in there, honest. Look up Sasha's mosque prank on the people of Kingman, Arizona. Oh, my God, so funny. Yeah, he does some crazy shit, dude. Jules said, I met a drunk prince of Dubai at the Hard Rock Casino, told me he got $8,500 a month for whatever he did. Also played craps with P. Diddy out in Vegas one night after the breakup with J-Lo. There you go. And when the Heat do not give an extension, the player will play even less with game day ailments. Yeah, but get out of it, bro. Get out of it. Get out of that contract. You've got to get out of that contract with Jimmy. You got to play these last 2 years out and just get the hell out. Orlando, best concert venue in the East Coast that I've been to. Okay? Because it's not the best. Because I haven't been to all venues. Madison Square Garden as an arena. I'm going to go with... Jesus Christ, what's the name of this place right here in downtown Miami? It used to be called the Gusman. Now we call it, it's an old theater. The acoustics there are just absolutely perfect. Saw Joe Jackson and Kraftwerk there the last few years. I forgot the name of it. The Olympia Theater. The Olympia Theater. On the East Coast, I'm going to go definitely Madison Square Garden. Oh, my God. That's the best arena, that one in the L.A. Forum, that I've been to. Okay? And then I'm going to go Providence. Providence. Concert. Hall. Here it is. That's the one. What's the name of that one? The Performance Arts Center. That's it. The Performance Arts Center in Providence is another one that it's a classic theater. Kind of that old Victorian type style, you know, wood, gold, all that kind of stuff. Just impeccable. All right. And the acoustics in that place, I saw Elvis Costello there. We drove to it. That is one of the best acoustic theaters that I've ever been to in my life. So I would go with Olympia, and the Olympia and that one are kind of the same. They're fantastic. And then I would go, obviously, number one, if we're going to go arena, I'm going to go Madison Square Garden. Because, see, the Forum and the Madison Square Garden are two arenas that they engineered for music. Most arenas are not engineered for music. They put some stuff so it doesn't bounce around and all that kind of stuff, but it's not really engineered for music. It's engineered for a sporting event. So it's not really engineered for music. Now, you go to Madison Square Garden and you go look at the roof and look at everything. It is engineered for music. You can hold any kind of event in there, but music is impeccable at Madison Square. And this is not a New York thing, because I'm not a New Yorker or anything like that. I call shit like I see it. Okay? So anytime you see a New Yorker brag about Madison Square Garden, they can brag about Madison Square Garden. Okay? Because the place is freaking phenomenal. The greatest second floor in the history of arenas is Madison Square Garden. It's the closest to the court, which makes it closest to the stage that I've ever seen. I've never seen a second floor closer to the arena or to the floor, to the stage than Madison Square Garden. Okay? I saw U2 there a couple times. And it's just phenomenal. So... Olympia Theater here, the Performance Arts Center, what is it? Performing Arts Center in Providence. Those would be my top three on the East Coast. West Coast, I'm going to go with the LA Forum that I've been to. Okay. And Red Rocks. Red Rocks is Jesus. Let's see. I'm with Matt. Matt should be the second QB drafted. Green Lion says, Orlando, best concert venue in the East Coast. Oh, that's, I got that one. Okay. Right. Kimbra was in that song. Somebody there. Yes, that's what I said. Yes.
Oh, you forgot about the Sphere.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. That's right. Yeah, the greatest venue right now on planet Earth that I've seen audio-wise, period, is the Sphere. Yeah, that's true. The Sphere has the best audio. That's right. I forgot about that. It's not even close. Yeah, cleanest audio I've ever heard in my life. It's just so beautiful. So, yeah. Stone Pony, Asbury Park. I've been there. Haven't been for a concert because I went out there when I saw Korn. It's interesting. We talked about Korn. I went to see Korn, Stone Sour, Chevelle, and Skillet. And it was at the PNC Amphitheater or something, which is about a half hour away from Asbury Park. And my buddy and I said, hey, we got to go to Asbury Park. I mean, what the hell? Even though we're not going for a concert. So I went, I bought a t-shirt and went to check it out. And it's on my bucket list. I have to go. But I went to Asbury. I walked in there. I'm going to question you on the acoustics there. I'm going to go to it and I'll check out a concert, but I have a hard time believing that Asbury Park is going to have better acoustics than the Olympia Theater. I have a hard time believing that. Hard time believing that in a big time way. The Kravis Center up in Palm Beach, by the way, deserves a lot of love. And let me tell you something. I know you don't go to a lot of concerts there because they don't bring a lot of concerts there. But the Adrian Arts Center, the acoustic, I saw Chaka Khan there, and the acoustics there are impeccable also. So I got to give them love. Parker, the Parker Playhouse is fantastic. It's a lot of good places. Big O, are the Bitcoin ETFs worth investigating? Is it better to own the asset? It's always better to own the asset. Own the asset, bro. Because in the ETF, you don't own the asset. And then when you cash out, they pay you off, but they don't give you the Bitcoin. So, you know what I mean? Now, if you're only in for, you know, some run, get the ETF and that's it. And cash out. But if you really want to hold it because it's only going to go up perpetually and it might be, you know, it might be 100,000, 150,000 this year, and then next year it's 250, and then the year after that's a half a million. So it's up to you how long you want to hold it. You know, it's up to you. There's only a finite amount, and we're going to get to the point where we're already, I mean, we're at 70,000. That's not a joke. You know, so for the people that were, oh, Bitcoin's going to go down when it's at 60 and when it's at 16 and at 20 and at 25 and 30. And by now, if you're still saying that, you know, you're like, you're insane. You're just doing shit to feed yourself misinformation. So it's always better to own the asset and please get a cold storage wallet. So you buy it on an exchange and you move it to a cold storage wallet. Okay. So there you go. Whoever won that Mega Million in New Jersey better hope that their state allows him or her to stay anonymous because they will meet family members they never knew existed. You are correct, sir. You are correct. Well, I gave you some local concert venues. I want to see Pearl Jam at Fenway, right? That's cool. I would like to see that too myself. Carolina Theater in Durham. Oh, yeah. Yes, it was very good. I went there with Pat. We saw a Crowded House there. It did sound great. You are correct. Evan says, stacking sats for eternity. You're a smart man. You're a smart man. Oh, with the new kickoff rules, I can see a lot of teams searching for the next Devin Hester. Yeah, no, definitely. You should have a returner. For wrestling fans, home of Bam Bam Bigelow is Asbury Park. Okay. The new theater in D.C. is incredible acoustics, says Green Lion. Well, maybe one day I will test it out. Also, Boardwalk Hall, Asbury Park. Okay. SPAC in Saratoga Springs, New York. SPAC, or, okay, I see. Okay, so it's like kind of the other pack. An amphitheater? Is that what it is? That's what it sounds like. And Saratoga Springs, is that like Saratoga, like where the horses are at and all that? So we're going to run into Parcells? Ugh. That's not good. Running into Parcells? Yeah. That no goo, man. That no goo. Let's get to our 3A Graphics sports calendar. Alan Blanco and the great people at 3A Graphics. If you need custom printing and embroidery, please call Alan. Tell him that Big O sent you, 786-618-1443. You need new uniforms, shirts, hats, magnets, cups, whatever it is you need for your business, your club, your fantasy league. Call 3A Graphics sports calendar, man. Maybe your school uniforms, whatever it is, 3A Graphics can handle it, 786-618-1443. Bruins beat the Panthers last night 4-3. Tomorrow they will take on the Islanders. Warriors beat the Heat 113-92. Friday they take on Portland. And congratulations to Nova Southeastern University. They defeat Southern New Hampshire 68-60 to make it to the Final Four of the NCAA Division II National Championship. They will take on California University of San Bernardino on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Ford Center in Evansville. And you can catch it on CBS Sports. So cheer on NSU. Saturday, by the way, Inter is back in action to take on NYC at Chase Stadium. 7:30 will be game time. That's your 3A Graphics sports calendar. I give Malcolm Butler a lot of credit. Okay? And I'm not giving him credit for getting drunk. I'm not giving him any credit for driving while drunk. He's a dumbass for that because he put everyone at risk around him. So I am not going to do that whatsoever because he's an idiot overall, right? But I am going to credit him for this. The cornerback and hero of Super Bowl 49, they got to throw that in, was arrested for allegedly drunk driving in North Providence. Butler was charged with driving under the influence of liquor, refusing a chemical test, and stopping at a prohibited intersection. According to North Providence police report, Butler's white Mercedes-Benz, the E300, was parked in the westbound lane of Mineral Spring Avenue, blocking traffic just before 3:30 a.m. Officers conducted a traffic stop where Butler allegedly informed them he was coming from a studio in Providence where he was making music. Police say there was a strong odor of alcohol in his breath. His speech was slurred, and his eyes were severely bloodshot. When asked if he had any alcoholic beverages before the stop, Butler told the officer, "Just take me to jail." I love that, bro. I hate the guy that said, "What? I didn't foul? What are you talking about?" And meanwhile, it's like Draymond Green choking Patty Mills and shit. You know, "What are you talking about? And I didn't hold." And, you know, you've got like his entire leg and you're stopping him from trying to make a tackle or something. Yeah, we see this all the time. Players complain about shit they did, but they're trying to tell the referee they didn't when the referee and the rest of us saw that you did it. You know, and the last thing is, you know, they stop you. "Well, what happened was," you know, and you start making all these excuses. No excuses, no bullshit. "I'm guilty. Just take me to," bro, you smell it on me, right? right? I stink of alcohol, right? I guess it's not that slurred. I guess he's not that drunk. I'm parked in an intersection at 3:30 in the morning because I can't move anymore. So he's at least he wasn't drunk enough to say, I only had one drink. Just one little tiny drink. Just I had a sip. No, you didn't do that. No. Just take me to jail, bro. I know I effed up. I'm guilty. I'm drunk as a skunk. Yeah, I smell worse than that bum that's there on the corner. Yeah. Just cuff me, bro. Just cuff me. Mad props, bro. Just, you screwed up already. You're an F up. You got behind the wheel. You got money. You could have gotten an Uber. You chose not to. You didn't fight with the guy. You didn't argue with him. Bro, just take me to jail. Love it. Love it. Respect. Okay? I'll give him a little props for that, It disgusts me that he was driving drunk like that, but at least he's not like some of those other people. No, I'm not drunk. No. No, what are you talking about, man? No. What? Why are you moving? Huh? Stop moving, officer. No, it's none of that. So it's cool. It's good. Malcolm Butler, nice job by you. Let's see. What else do we have? Saratoga Performance Arts Center. Okay. Dirty Deeds is my 18-month-old favorite song right now. Sings it everywhere. It's a catchy song. The guitar, the riff of it, and obviously the lyrics, man. Super catchy. Super catchy. All right. We thank Matt Verderam, as always. We thank all of you for tuning in. Those of you that sent in a super chat, thank you. Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. You can send the Cash App or Venmo anytime. You can make a Bitcoin donation like Ray Martinez did today. Thank you, sir, very much. Very generous. We appreciate it. As always, we thank Sean Stanley, the man, the myth, the legend that masters this entire program. We shall see you tomorrow in the afternoon. Remember, we're at Hialeah Park, so we'll see you around 3:30 in the afternoon. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show.